You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Okay, thank you very, very much. We're going to have a breakout day. Okay, so you're at the breakout. So delighted to have you here on bpnradio.com as we welcome you to our service here at Breakout Radio Church. And, of course, we're a global church without walls, comprised of members of many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We are a house of prayer for all nations, responding to Micah chapter 2, verse 13, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out. Pass through the gate, go out by it. The king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. So Jesus Christ, of course, is the Lord at our head. He is the Lord over Breakout Radio Church. Wow, what a wonderful day. Gene, it's good to have those that are listening on bpnradio.com today across America and around the globe. We have membership comprised of people from 40 different states and nations.
Yes.
Wow. Who ever heard of such a thing?
That's right. It's wonderful.
God is doing things that we've never even thought about.
Yes, He is.
And so here we are, and leading Breakout Radio Church, and now in our 51st year, now in actually our 52nd year of ministry.
Yes.
We completed 51 years, and what a joy. What a joy it is to be able to be here today and to lead this service. It's going to be a great day. Of course, Ian Ellis and Keeber with us today. They're going to help lead us in some worship and praise and worship. And God has put a special message upon my heart, and I believe it's going to be one of the most important messages I've ever preached on No Child Left Behind. We're talking about your children.
Yes.
So it's going to be a good day today. So we're going to pray. Father, we agree in the name of Jesus that your will, plan, and purpose be done here today at Breakout Radio Church. Ministering to members, church members across America and around the world. So very, very thankful that we have the opportunity to minister to so many people that may not have a church, may not have a pastor. So Gene and I pray the will of God be done today in Jesus' name.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, may you be exalted and may you be high and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And one of our spiritual grandsons, Phil King, who now leads the music at Christ for the Nations. We're going to have Christ for the Nations to lead us in this praise and worship song, You Are Good. And Ian, Allison, Keeber are going to lead us in some worship as well. He's going to give you an opportunity to give, and then I'm going to preach the word. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do today, that's what we'll do.
It's going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day.
Yes,
isn't it, Gene?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Ian Allison is going to come. Christ for the Nations going to lead us in this wonderful song, You Are Good. We want to let the Lord know how good He is, how much we love Him, and adore Him. So here we go.
Say good morning, everybody. Join us up. Join us up. Let's lift up and praise today, guys.
Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me.
Yes.
And I think because you are good.
God is so good. We just lift him up today. You know, as I was driving around in Houston yesterday morning, or was that? I'm sorry, on Friday morning, I was driving. I got in the car in the traffic, and you know, there's people driving around, a little crazy, big cities with lots of traffic. But in my car, some worship music came on. And driving down the freeway, I just lifted him up. I just lifted up one hand, kept one on the wheel, and just was praising God as I drove. My eyes were open. My eyes were open, and I had a big smile on my face. And, you know, oftentimes I think in life when we're in the most stressful situations, sometimes all we need to do is just lift him up in praise and thank God for being here right now. You know, I saw a quote yesterday of somebody said that, you know, the healthy man has 1,000 wishes, but the unhealthy person has just one, and that's to be healthy. And sometimes we just got to come back to knowing what's that one thing. Sometimes we have so many things on our minds and on our hearts, but what's that one thing that's truth always, is that God's love is there and that we can celebrate him. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, God. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we lift you up today, God. We thank you. We just praise you. So blessed to be alive today, here and now.
No matter what you're going through today, why don't you pause and thank him? Thank him for what you're going through today. Some of you might be saying, but if you only knew what I was going through, that there wouldn't be Thanksgiving. No, God calls us to have Thanksgiving in our heart each and every moment of each and every day. Why don't you praise him and worship him this morning and thank him for his goodness, for all that he has already done in your life, for all that he has got for you in the future. Thank him and praise him.
God, praise you.
Watch your circumstances change when you thank him for the difficult times. Thank him for the good times.
Yep.
Thankful for your goodness, God, always. Praise you, Jesus.
Gratitude unlocks the doors and unlocks the windows. Allows that air to flow in. Allows God to come inside when you're grateful. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We love you, God. We're so grateful, God, for all of this life, Lord. For everything in it, God. We love you. We pray for all those out there today that are dealing with struggles, Lord, that they can just see you through whatever darkness they're facing. Or that you just light up their life and you light up their paths. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you do here, Lord. Thank you for Breakout Ministries, for the opportunity to preach to the world, God, through this medium. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we honor you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And as we move into a time of receiving the offerings, I actually want to take a quick moment here to reflect on this past week as we had our partners gathering here in Austin, Texas. And so many of you that listen on the radio or that we get to see through Facebook, we got to meet in person finally, and it's crazy because sometimes we feel like we know you already, but just being there in person, getting a chance to hug their necks and to see everyone was such a blessing. And I want to remind all of you out there, if you want to know about these partner gatherings, or you want to make sure that you're a member of Breakout Radio Church, and you can do so by heading over to bpnradio.com and clicking on the Become a Member link. Pretty sure that's how that goes. There's a membership link there. And it just lets us know who you are. It lets us know that you want to be a part of this. You know, that you know, you want to be in the know of those partner gatherings and of other events that come up for Breakout Radio Church. We have this Thursday, actually, is National Day of Prayer. And just want to put that out there. Make sure everybody out here knows and puts that on their calendars, that the National Day of Prayer is coming up. And find out how you can participate. And I think Dale's going to give some opportunities here in a little bit to talk about what you can do this Thursday. So I want to keep your eyes on that. And of course, obviously today is a day to give your tithes and offerings. And I want to give our members and those of you out there watching and listening today an opportunity to do so. And you can do so by heading to bpnradio.com as well, where you can fill out that membership link. And there's also a donate button that allows you to give through PayPal via a debit or credit card. Or if you prefer to send a check, you can do so by making that check out to Breakout Ministries. That's P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And just want to pray for you all right now. Thank you, Lord, so much for all those out there that are part of Breakout Ministries. Lord, we just pray for those that are tithing today, Lord, that you multiply their seed, God, that act of giving and just saying it's yours, Lord, that we give to you the first tenth of everything, God. It's all yours, and we are giving back to you what's already yours, Lord, but we know that you're going to take that and multiply it. We thank you so much for all that you're doing in this ministry, God, and in the lives of those out there, Lord, that you are there for us. Lord, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And real quick, I want to say one more prayer out here. I want to, as a community, let's pray to lift up our pastors today. Let's thank you, Lord, for all of the pastors that are out there that are preaching to this morning. Lord, that when they feel unprepared, God, that you are just going to ignite their souls and light them up with the perfect words, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing, that those words are received by the congregations, for all those out there that are listening, that it just heads straight into their hearts, Lord, that their hearts are open to receive the words that are spoken today, Lord. We thank you again for all of those that are taking a stand, that are standing up and leading congregations, God. We thank you for just continuing to pour your love across this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen and amen. And of course, I'm praying for Dale here as he comes over here, and I know that he's got something prepared and on his heart that's big. So thank you so much, Dale.
Thank you very much, Ian. We're so grateful for Ian Ellis, the keeper, working with us here at Breakout Radio Church. And wow, what a wonderful, wonderful day it is. It's good to be able to partner together. And yeah, I would like to mention about National Day of Prayer. As we do every year, we take the day to pray. This year we'll have churches and individuals, prayer leaders that will participate, will help us. And so all day long on bpnradio.com, you can join us for the National Day of Prayer. Our team will be leading prayer, as well as churches and other prayer leaders. It'll be a great day. And of course, you know, we are a church that prays, and we believe in the power of corporate prayer. And of course, I've been praying for you that are members of Breakout Radio Church, and we are here to be a blessing to you, serve you, and if you need to contact us, you can. Well, today I want to minister today from Exodus chapter 10, verse number 8. This will be part one of a two-part series that I'm entitling No Child Left Behind. And I love to preach from the Word. I love the Word. I'm bonded to my Bible. And if you looked at my Bible, you'll see the pages are torn and worn and marked up because I love this Word. And everything that we do must be according to this word. And so today, I love this Bible, but I'm going to read. I've got the New King James Bible in my hand, but I'm going to read from the Living Bible. I love the Living Bible. And so here's what the Living Bible says from Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 8. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 8. It said, "So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, 'All right, go and serve Jehovah your God, but just who is it you want to go?'" This is a very important question. "Who is it that you want to go?" "We will go," Moses said, "we will go with our sons and daughters, flocks and herds. We will take everything with us, for we must all join in the holy pilgrimage." Pharaoh said, here's what Pharaoh said, "In the name of God, I will not let you take your little ones, your children. I can see your plot. Never. You that are men, go and serve Jehovah, for that is what you asked for." And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. So what did Pharaoh say? "Yeah, I'll let you go, but you cannot take your children." A little backdrop, you know, for hundreds of years, for about 400 years, the children of Israel lived under the hand of Pharaoh, a terrible taskmaster. They were surrounded by inhumane sufferings, working 7 days a week from early in the morning to late in the evening, having a quota that they had to meet, them and their sons and daughters. And they labored under the awful hand of that Egyptian leader called Pharaoh, being watched over like dogs every day by the wicked soldiers of Pharaoh under the hard taskmaster, which represents, of course, Satan. But when they begin to call on Jehovah God, everything began to change. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, the Bible says, and his ears are open to their cry. And so they begin to pray, and as they begin to pray, God began to respond. And he sent a man, a faithful man, who had been serving alone. His father-in-law, actually, he had been serving alone on the backside of the desert. He was in total obscurity, but God called him. When God called him out of the burning bush, the Bible said that Moses turned and looked and listened. He turned, he looked, he listened, and the Lord gave him a call to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And so this man that had no public ministry for 40 years obeyed immediately and started going to Pharaoh, demanding that he let the children of Israel go. At first, Pharaoh laughed at him and mocked at him and said, "Who are you, and where'd you come from, and how can you make such demands?" And he laughed him off. But suddenly, the hand of God began to impose itself on Pharaoh, and different plagues began to fill the land of Egypt, which caught Pharaoh's attention. The supernatural will always catch the attention of those who are in bondage or those that do not know the Lord. And so Moses would keep going back and saying, God is saying, let my people go. And at first Pharaoh would say, okay. And then he would say, no, I'm not going to let you do it. Finally, he said, I'm going to make a proposition with you. I'm going to let you go, but you leave your children behind. And Moses could have said, okay, we believe that we'll go ahead and we'll prepare the way for the children. Maybe one day they will join us, and we've got to get out of here. Enough is enough. But Moses stood his ground, and he responded to Pharaoh by saying, no, we will not leave one child behind. No child will be left behind. You cannot have our flocks, our herds. You cannot have anything that we have, and you cannot have our sons and daughters. And so we know that finally Pharaoh, because of the workings of the Lord, because of the persistence of Moses, the children of Israel went, and they went with their children across into the promised land. And now we know that Israel is celebrating this week their 70th anniversary as a nation. And so the persistence of Moses declaring we will not leave our children behind changed the whole scenario. And so we find that this continued even into America. And we know that the pilgrims came to America to seek freedom of worship, freedom of education, not just for them, but for their children. And we find that what is happening today is a total change of how it all began. And it all began because the pilgrims, the children of the pilgrims of our nation came over declaring that they were going to protect their children. And how were they going to do it? They were going to teach them and train them in the ways of the Lord. So you got to realize, for over 100 years in America, the children of our nation were taught in the classrooms, in the church. The pastor would preach on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, parents or school teachers, volunteers would teach the children, and they would teach them from the Bible and from McGuffey's reader. William Holmes McGuffey, his reader sold over 125 million copies. So for over 100 years, there were only two textbooks in America, the Bible and McGuffey's reader, which were based on the Bible and the teachings of Jesus. McGuffey wrote, William McGuffey writes, the Christian religion is the religion of our country, the United States of America. Listen to some of his some of his teaching. These books are still in print. Lesson 37. At the close, and I quote William McGuffey, at the close of the day, before you go to sleep, you should pray to God to keep you from sin and from harm. You should ask Him for life and health and strength. You should thank Him for all of His good gifts and learn while young to put your trust in Him. Lesson number 62. No little boy or little girl should ever drink rum or whiskey. The Bible says that no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. Lesson 31 from McGuffey's Reader. How often must be the scene as you enter the eternal world? You will see God, the Savior, seated upon the majestic throne. So what happened to us? What happened to us? Satan began to determine that he was going to separate the parents from the children. And you see, history repeats itself. Satan has no new ideas. He just looks at history and continues to repeat what he has done before. Mm-hmm. So what happened to us as a nation? Eventually in the 1920s, the parents became too busy. The church voluntarily delegated the responsibility of training their children to the state. What a dark day, excuse me, what a dark day that has proven to be. Here's what Martin Luther said. I advise no parent to place their children in a school where the scriptures do not remain paramount. Decades against his warnings have come to pass. It was well when the children, excuse me, were being taught by the parents and by the Christians. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Luke chapter 6 says when a student is taught, he will be just like his teacher. So the pilgrims that came over, they had it right. The total training of the total child was their principle. The total training of the total child. But in 1933, a man by the name of John Dewey introduced a new religion called secular humanism. Secular humanism does not believe in a divine creator. Secular humanism does not believe in God. They believe in evolution and that man is a part of nature. They believe in immorality. Whatever you want to do immorally, sexually, you do it. Whatever makes you feel good, then you do it. So John Dewey introduced secular humanism. The secular humanism manifesto was introduced and was placed as a portion of the education of the public school system of America. It took 30 years for that religion to germinate, but finally it took over in 1963. It took from 1933 until 1963 in order for this religion to be officially introduced as the new religion of the American public school system. But in 1963, it was introduced. And what happened in 1963? Prayer was taken out of the school. When I was a boy, we prayed every morning in school. The teacher would teach on the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments were on the walls of every classroom. And we repeat the Ten Commandments. We would recognize and memorize the Ten Commandments. But in 1963, when secular humanism was introduced as the religion of the public school system, the Ten Commandments came off of the wall and prayer was taken down. Blamed on Madeline Murray O'Hare, a lawyer from where else but Austin, Texas. And they blamed it on her. But this had been in motion for 30 years. And we implemented in 1963 a new religion, and our public schools became owned by the government school, became known as government schools. No results have been as tragic in America as that one in 1963 when prayer and Christianity was taken out of the public schools and secular humanism was introduced. Our president, George W. Bush, he saw the harm that was being done. So in 2001, he tried to rectify or change, initiate a new program called No Child Left Behind. In 19, In 2001, the United States Congress attempted to implement its own version of No Child Left Behind. It was a act of Congress that reauthorized the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. It included Title I provisions applying to disadvantaged students. It supported standards-based education reform based on the premise that setting high standards and establishing measurable goals could improve individual outcomes in education. The act required states to develop assessments and basic skills to receive federal school funding. States had to give these assessments to all students to select grade levels. Contents included over 20 different categories in which to study and implement. Was No Child Left Behind a success? No, it wasn't. Because nowhere in the many pages of definitions, rules, regulations, and implementation did it mention the involvement of the church or the parents. No mention. No mention of the parents or the church involvement. It did not succeed. It was replaced by Every Student Succeeds Act in 2015, which has become a total joke. There is no mention anywhere of the parents and the church. In fact, during the midst of it all, before that ever happened, a lady by the name of Hillary Rodham Clinton wrote a book called It Takes a Village to Teach your Children. She published this book in 1996 and focused on the impact of individuals and groups outside the family have, for better or worse, on a child's well-being, advocates a society which meets all of a child's needs. The book was written with uncredited ghostwriter Barbara Finman. At the Republican National Convention, Republican Party nominee Bob Doe said, "With all due respect, I'm here to tell you it does not take a village to raise a child. It takes a family, a mother and a father, to raise a child with the help of the church and Christian friends." So No Child Left Behind was enacted in 2001 with that was nothing new. Moses had enacted that thousands of years before, declaring no child of ours will be left behind. Declaring that proclamation, because Pharaoh said, you go about your business, you go over, establish your business, build your houses, build your homes, have your own agenda. Don't worry about your children. We'll take care of your children. And that is what the educational system is saying again today to parents. I'm talking about Christian parents because I'm talking to you, church. They are saying, you go ahead, you start your business, you implement whatever you want to do, join your social clubs, your country clubs, play your golf, and build your houses, but we will take care of your children. And so most Christian parents have bought into that, leaving their children 8 hours a day to be taught by, who knows, maybe atheists, homosexuals, who knows what may be happening. And so they spread their agenda that is not Bible-based, but it's humanistic-based. And they just say, leave your children. And so today, after several years, many Christians have bought into that, and they have decided to leave their children behind. They may have a little time with their children, but it's the public education system that is now teaching them the principles that anything goes. We are living in the same era that was described in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that is what secular humanism is teaching your sons and daughters, your children, your grandchildren, that whatever it is, anything goes. And there may be some say, well, you know, there's Christian there's a Christian teacher in my classroom, but they are there, I guess, as a missionary, but they have rules and regulations that they must abide by, the humanistic teaching of an immoral generation of unbiblical principles. And you got to realize in our school system that where did they attack the Bible? Genesis chapter 1. The Bible said in the beginning God, and they attack that first verse and say, no, God was not in the beginning. man evolved. Over the millions of years, man evolved into what it is today. And so our children, the Word of God, the Bible, is attacked from the very get-go, the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. And so they are discounting anything the Bible says. And so we have a generation now called the millennial generation that is living a life of confusion. Deception. They do not know what to believe. They do not know what is going on. And so what is the public school, the government school teaching? What is their main emphasis now, right now? Gender neutrality. Mm-hmm. Where a child does not know who they are. They don't know if they're a man. They don't know if they're a woman. And you got to realize that even in the school system today, we find that there is an unholy mixture. They try to take the scriptures and mix it into their own liking, into their own interpretation. And they're teaching gender neutrality, because if you don't have an identity of who you are, I'm not talking about just who you are in Christ. That was the issue many years ago. But now it's who you are. Are you really a young boy? Are you really a girl? And so gender neutrality there's a movement ongoing describing the idea that policies, languages, and other social institutions should avoid distinguishing between people's sex or gender. That's what they're saying in our public schools. Don't try to describe who you are, whether a boy or a girl. You avoid, and we must avoid talking about that, because we will be discriminating. And it arising from the impression that there are social roles for which one gender is more suited than the other. This is the issue. We have a generation of young people who don't know who they are or what they are. They don't know if they're a man or a woman. They don't know if they're a boy or they are a girl. They have lost their identity. And we as a church are in a spiritual warfare today. I prophesied when President Trump was inaugurated that the storm was over, but the war had begun. And the war is heating up. And where is the war? It's for our children. And Satan is saying, Pharaoh is saying, Satan is saying, leave your children behind. Go ahead and build your house, build your business, build your status. Go ahead, but leave your children behind. We will teach your children. And if we can't get it done in their public school days, when they go off to the college or universities, we will complete our agenda. What are we doing? We are reaping the results right now. And I know that we have a generation that primarily does not know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Many of them come to church and they sit there with their iPhones or their iPads. They may be playing games while the service is going on. And they are being influenced by their friends. They're being influenced by the teachers. They're being influenced by maybe a coach. And somebody says, well, maybe you're being a little bit negative. No, there's an inordinate mixture going on. Case in point, there are two very popular music programs on television right now. One is called The Voice, and the other one is called American Idol. And Gina and I, we watched the first edition, the first broadcast last year of The Voice. But there was a man on that was saying he was a preacher during the daytime, but a drag queen at night. And he was one of the entrants, and so Gina and I immediately turned it off, because we know that is a message. Who's it being sent to? That message is being sent to our children, particularly those that have been raised in a Christian home, that you can be one thing by day and another thing by night. It does not matter, but it does matter. And so, you know, I find that they say that they're talking about this year, American Idol, which I have not watched. They say that American Idol has six young people that are now out of the 10 finalists. Six are those who lift up the name of Jesus, that are Christians. And they are proclaiming the name of Jesus. But let me share something. There is one a finalist, his name is Cade, who claims to be a preacher and ministers and openly shares his faith across his social media platform and repeatedly gives thanks to God while singing heart rock songs such as All Along the Watchtower, a song made famous by rock and roll star Jimi Hendrix. And someone said, I've been listening to this song since 1968 and have a few thoughts. And so I went and I read the words. You know, the most impact that, the greatest impact that's being made on our children is music. And there's a lot of parents, they just let their children listen to music and never try to find out what the lyrics are. Because of the internet, we can know exactly what the lyrics are saying. And I've said many times on bpnradio.com, there's only two kinds of music. There's good music and bad music. Good music and bad music. I would say any song recorded by Jimi Hendrix is not good music. And so I thought, well, this preacher, pastor, because he talks about his flock. And why am I saying this? Because our children are allowed to look at programs that brings great confusion because Satan is trying to make an inordinate entrance upon the sons and daughters of believers. Listen to the words of, I thought I had the words to that song. He also recorded a song, sung a song, this guy on American Idol. I think it'll probably be on tonight. He sung a song called Black Magic Woman. Here's the preacher, the pastor, says his flock, he appreciates his flock's support. You say, are you trying to call him out? Are you trying to be negative? No, I'm trying to call out the truth, ladies and gentlemen, that Satan wants you to leave your sons and your daughters behind. Huh? And you may not think you're leaving them behind, but you are. And so what does Satan want most from you? He wants your most prized possession, your children. He wants your sons and daughters. This is a wake-up call to all parents. All parents, you must not sacrifice your children. You must not let them make their own decisions. You must be involved in choosing their friends, their education, the songs that they listen to, the programs they watch. You must understand who you allow your children to spend the night with. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we are in church. We are in a war like as never before. So the preacher, he sang this song called Black Magic. And the words are, got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman. I got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see that she's a black magic woman. She's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Yes, don't turn your back on me, baby. Stop messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. You just might pick up some magic sticks. Got your spell on me, baby. Got your spell on me, baby. Yes, you got your spell on me, baby. Turning my heart into stone. I need you so bad, magic woman. I can't leave you alone. So our children say, here's a pastor, here's a preacher, here's one who leads a flock, and he's singing these type of songs. It must be okay. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, church, it is not okay. You need to know the words of every song that your children are listening to. Even some Christian songs are not scriptural. They're not scriptural. You say, well, you're nitpicking now. No, I'm trying to tell you that Satan is out to destroy your children. What does he want from you? Does he want you? Yes, he wants you, but he probably knows that he can't have you because most of you are grounded in the faith, but your children is who he wants. He wants your children, and he wants to deceive. He wants to divide and conquer. He wants your children. He wants your children to rebel against you. And, what is the solution? What is the remedy? That you train up a child in the way that you would have them to go. In the way that you would have them to go. And whoever you give that responsibility to must teach them and train them just the way that you do. You cannot leave them at home alone. You cannot leave them at home alone with a babysitter or that you don't know or with a computer. Huh? You can't leave them home alone to make up their own choices, their own decisions, choose their own friends. You have got to be involved in every area of their lives. And that's why In 1981, in 1980, when my daughter entered the seventh grade, I saw what was happening. I saw what was taking place in the government schools and the public schools. And I saw it because of her attitude. I saw it because of what she wanted to watch, what she wanted to listen to. It was a total transference. It was a total change. So I went personally. I went to the hallways of the junior high school, the middle school that she was attending, and I saw the rebellion. I saw what was going on. I'm not talking about from a legalistic viewpoint. I'm talking about what I saw with my own eyes, and I purposed in my heart, although I did not know much about Christian schools or Christian education, I purposed in my own heart that I would start a school if I only did it for one. So I visited different Christian schools. God began to give me a plan. And in 1981, I started, Gene and I started a Christian school in Oklahoma City with 87 students, including my daughter. And I had all kinds of warfare going on. That first year I had to battle. I'm telling you, it's a war for your sons and daughters. Even in 1981, as long ago as that was, there was a war. Even the person that we hired as the administrator, she rebelled against me, and some of the teachers rebelled. I had to fire some of the teachers one by one. I fired her. It was a major warfare that took place. But today, 36, 37 years later, I got a report yesterday. Thousands and thousands of students have gone through that Christian school that Gene and I started in 1981. It's one of the largest Christian schools in the state of Oklahoma. They have 600 students this year. Thousands of students have gone through there since 1981. Why? Because I knew the war that was taking place against our sons and daughters, and I was not willing to leave any child behind. I saw what was happening, and the congregation, they did not buy, all of them did not buy into it. In fact, the board said to me, "Pastor, what are you doing? We don't have any students, and you've announced that you want to start a Christian school." But I knew I'd heard from God. Why? Because I was not willing to leave any child behind. No child left behind. No child left behind. When a student is taught, they'll be just like their teacher, if it's a godly teacher or an ungodly teacher. Whatever they say with their words or whatever they say with their spirit, their heart. And so today, what's happening? There's a war going on. But I'm here to tell you that Christian schools are on the rise, as well as homeschools. There's about 2.3 million home-educated students in the United States as of 2016. And this is growing. This is growing and growing and growing because parents are realizing they need to teach and educate their children. Some women are sacrificing the workplace to be able to teach their children. Christian schools, concerning homeschooling, 3.4 million U.S. adults have been homeschooled for at least 1 year of their K-12 years. And parents have decided to homeschool their children. Others are sending them to a Christian school. Christian schools are growing. Wikipedia, I'm going to wrap this up here in a moment. I'll finish next week. But Wikipedia says a Christian school is a school run on Christian principles or by a Christian organization. The nature of Christian schools varies enormously from country to country, according to the religious, educational, political cultures. There is, in America, there's a strict separation of church and state. So all religious schools are private, and others, there's an established church whose teaching form an integral part of this system. Over 4 million students in America attend Christian schools. So we have 6 million students this year that are being taught in Christian schools or homeschools. Why? Because parents are not willing to allow their children to be taught whatever the school wants to teach them. We're in a war. We're in a war. What is the war for? We're about the war. The war is about your children. Pharaoh said, "I'm going to let you go, but you must not take your children." The same thing is happening now to your sons, for your sons and daughters. What does Satan want? He wants your children, the most valuable thing in your life, because he does not want you to raise up godly generations. Mm-hmm. He wants your children to be confused about life. He wants your children to be more loyal to their friends and to you. And he wants to bring destruction. So I'm here to tell you that you must be alert. You must be aware concerning your children. the teaching and the training. I believe that I'm in the ministry today because every morning before I went to school, we had prayer. We had family prayer every evening. And before I went to bed, we had prayer. My parents taught me the fear of God. They taught me and trained me. And of course, in those days, I got to pray in school. Today is different. There's a war going on. I know for my grandchildren now, for my kids, my grandchildren, and one day for my great-grandchildren, there's a war going on. And I pray for you right now. Allison is going to come and pray for you. I pray for you in Jesus' name that you will make right choices concerning the training of your children. And you must declare, I will not leave any of my children behind. I will not leave one son or one daughter behind. They will not be left behind because I will be involved in their lives and the church will be involved in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Allison, you come and pray.
Whew, it's a powerful word this morning, and I'm just so thankful that we can have mentors and a spiritual father in our life that speaks with such truth, right? And I know that many of us are probably listening today, and some of us is we're saying, okay, yeah, I know this, I know this. And I'm just believing that when we hear difficult messages like this, that it isn't our responsibility to say, you know, oh yes, I stand in agreement. Yes, amen, amen. It's our responsibility to go out and to share this truth, right? To share these difficult messages. And I was searching my heart through this message because Pastor Dale knows that Ian and I are at a time right now where we're struggling with this right now. We see with our young children the things that that we stand against and that we don't believe in and that are happening. And it's a struggle. It is a struggle. And I was just brought to this scripture, and I hope it's okay, Pastor, if I read this scripture from 2 Timothy 3. And this was Paul again challenging Timothy that there's going to be hard times that are going to come. And in 2 Timothy 3, he says, "And know this, in the last days, times will be hard. You see, the world will be filled with narcissistic, money-grubbing, pretentious, arrogant, and abusive people. They will rebel against their parents and will be ungrateful, unholy, uncaring, cold-hearted, accusing, without restraint, savage, and haters of anything good. Expect them to be treacherous, reckless, swollen with self-importance, and given to loving pleasures more than they love God. Even though they may look or act like godly people, they are not. They deny his power. I tell you, stay away from the likes of these. They are snakes slithering into the houses of vulnerable women gouted with sin to seduce them." And obviously it goes on. And I just, I was led to that scripture by God because I just felt like, again, we're living in a time where offense is the bait of Satan, right? We are living in a time that Satan is coming after us through offense, and we cannot take the bait. We cannot take the bait of getting out of order, having our houses getting out of order where our children are the kings and queens of our household. So many of us are putting our children up on a pedestal where we're fearing to actually reprimand them and put them into proper place and really teaching to them what that order is and telling my children. I read an article the other day that said we can no longer talk about breastfeeding because it's offending some people because of the connotation that it has put on, that it's female. It's breastfeeding, and it seems like to people to like me, it just seems unfathomable that we can be in a times like these. But God's word tells us that we will enter into times as these, and to be prepared, that we must prepare the next generation, because I'm believing that they're going to enter into even harder times. That's what God's word is telling us, that as we draw closer to the end times, it's going to get harder and harder, and so we must prepare them. We must train up a child. They must know our voice. And I think of it as this, church, is that so many of us, we're living in a time of parenting right now, a parenting time where, you know, we're doing the counting. We're doing the, you know, when I get to the count of three, you're really going to get it. You're going to get it then when I get to the count of three. Well, think of it this way. If my child was to run out into a street after a ball that had gone loose, but there is a car coming at them at 45, 60 miles per hour, and I tell them, by the count of three, you will go and get, you will come back to me from getting that ball, that car will take them out. Our children need to know our voice the first time that we say it. The first time that we say it. And again, I know that many of you are saying, yes, amen, amen to that. But church, what I pray today is I pray that each and every one of us have the strength to go out and share God's truth and love, His truth and love, that we go out and we say, you know what, just because this is what the world is telling us that we should do, that these are the standardized tests that my child have to take because they're in the public school system, that they have to do, that we stand up for what we know is God's truth and we know what is right for our children. They are my children. They are not the public school system's children. They are our children. Then I will train them up in the way that they shall go. They will know my voice as they run out into danger, that they will know my voice, and that my teaching to them comes from God's truth, God's word. Church, I just want to pray for you today. I want to pray and cover each and every one of you in a hedge of protection. God, I just pray for a hedge of protection to be surrounded around each and every one of us and around our children. That many of us are raising up children who have more truth, who have more fruit inside their pinky than many in the world have right now. And that we pray a hedge of protection as we go out, as they go out into this world and stand in truth, and that as the fiery darts come, God, that they are just that they are just surrounded in your armor, God. I pray the armor of God around them right now, that each and every morning that they get up, and that is their prayer, each and every one of our prayers, the armor of God, that we have to be armed because we are going into battle each and every day, that we can't just stay locked up in our houses and just hope that God will work everything out. He has called us as believers to go out in battle, to take out His word, His sword, His sword.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, that you prepare us, God. You prepare us and help us in the way that we should go, God, and that we will fight some battles, God. And God, that we will not let the bait of Satan, that we will not allow offense to take over. God, and I just pray that that we eliminate the distractions, that there are so many distractions that we say it's okay. That, you know, some of us say, I hear this, thank you, Jesus. I hear that some of us are saying, well, I've got to prepare them for the world. I've got to prepare them for the world. And I'm just hearing God say, no, that is not right. You have to prepare them for battle, not prepare them for the world and to succumb to the likes of the world, but to prepare them for battle, because they will go out and they are battling for souls. There's a battle right now for souls. And I pray a hedge of protection as we go out and we speak this message out and we walk this out, and that each and every one of us search our souls and we say, are we doing what everything that God wants us to do for our children? Do we have the proper order in our house, home of God, of our husband and wife, and then our children, God? And are we putting our jobs in front of that with the verbiage and the okayness of well, it's me taking care of those things? No, that we have the right order, because if we come back in order, then we can stand in truth and we can go out and we can speak this message, that we can go into places that our children are walking into. And when we say, no, this isn't right, that we can say, I stand in this truth.
Amen.
That this isn't right. Church, I love you.
Yes.
I love you, and I stand in agreement with you, because you are going to walk into some hard times after hearing this message today. That's God's promise to us, that we will walk into some hard times, but he also promised us his armor of God.
Yes.
I bless you as you go out today. May God bless you and keep you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, thank you very much, Allison. And Gene and I are so thankful you came to church today, wherever you may be.
Yes, we are.
You may be driving down the road on the beach. You may be at work. You may be confined to someplace. So thankful that we can serve you. And as a shepherd in your life, I want to give warnings to the sheep. I want to preach the truth, whatever the Holy Spirit puts in my heart. And I'll complete this message, No Child Left Behind. Gene, I want to bless you. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not a Christian, would you say this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Mm-hmm. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And if you want to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, just go to bpnradio.com. Click on Breakout Radio Church. There's a membership link there. I'm so thankful that you came to church today. Gene and I love you very, very much. We bless you and ask God to bless you and keep you and you and your family. And the family is the very basis of our nation. Yes. Abraham Lincoln said, strong families make a strong nation. Weak families make a weak nation. Yes. So I'm for you today. We bless you. Have a wonderful day. Gene and I love you very much.
We love you.
Yes, we do.